Awesome. Thank you, Peyton. Hey, you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Good morning, church. It is great to be with you today. Hey, if you have your Bibles, open them up to just where Peyton read right there, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, looking at verses 18 through 25 in our time together this morning. Last Sunday, Cameron was up here preaching, who did a phenomenal job, by the way, of setting up our Advent series that we are calling Unexpected. If you don't know what that word Advent means, it's just Latin for the word coming. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus into this world. And last Sunday, Cameron spoke from the Gospel of Luke on God's unexpected plan to bring the Redeemer of this world in through kind of a potentially 14-year-old female that no one really knew anything about. And so we got to see and hear a little bit about the story of Mary. And this morning, we're going to look at the story from the point of view of Joseph, the man that she was betrothed to. And we're going to see how Joseph had an unexpected response to kind of the situation that was taking place around here. But I want to start this morning by asking you a question. Have you ever had a moment that completely shocked you and changed your life forever? A moment that completely shocked you and changed your life forever. It's one of those moments that you're like, what in the world, Lord, is happening? What is going on? A couple months ago, I was reading this story just a couple days ago about something that took place a couple months ago. A family from the UK, London, was going on summer vacation to Toronto, Canada. And so, just as most people do when they go on vacation, they pack their bags, they get excited, they get on the plane, they get over a long flight from London all the way over to Toronto. They get there, they get in their rental car, and they get to the hotel room. And when they get there, the mom starts not feeling the greatest. Now, she's thinking, this is probably jet lag. This is probably just the time change. Really, I just need a nap, and then I'll be good to go. And so she takes a nap, and herself, her husband, and their six-year-old daughter go on that evening, kind of doing their normal thing. She's feeling better after their nap. They get back to the hotel room. She goes to bed. Everybody goes to bed, and she wakes up in the middle of the night with some really, really, really bad stomach pains. Now, she does what most of us would do if we had really bad stomach pains. She goes to the bathroom. So she heads straight to the bathroom and sits down. And she said, at that point, and this is where things get a little weird, at that point, her body just completely took over. And she begins to push because she's in the restroom, and out comes a baby in the toilet bowl. Now, I verified this is a real story. Watch the interview of these people. This actually happened. She had no idea she was pregnant. Her husband had no idea that she was pregnant. I didn't realize this was a thing, but it's actually possible for a female to give birth without actually knowing she was pregnant. But there she is now holding this baby on the toilet, and her husband all of a sudden starts to hear some crying. Now, imagine you're the husband for a second, okay? He's hearing some crying. He's thinking. He wakes up. He's like, oh, that's coming from the room next door, of course. So he gets up to go to the bathroom to check on his wife, and he opens up the door, and he sees his wife holding their newborn daughter. And honestly, if it was me, I'd be wondering, what in the world did I take last night? Like, what was in my system? What did I eat? What is happening? There's no way this is real. They had no idea whatsoever she was pregnant, and there he is looking at his wife, holding their newborn daughter while she is sitting in the bathroom. And that moment, I can promise you this, for that family, was absolutely shocking and completely unexpected. Well, and as surprising as of a story as that was, church, the story we're going to look at this morning is far, far, far more surprising than that story. See, all of us at some point in our lives We are going to have moments that seem unexpected, moments that change our lives forever. And that's what's going to happen this morning in this story. People's worlds are about to be turned upside down. But through it all, through all the craziness, through all the unexpectedness, here's what we're going to see, and here's our main idea for this morning. That in the most unexpected moments, Jesus brings peace. In the most unexpected moments, Jesus brings peace. I know many of us come in here this morning and we've heard this story many times, but today what I want to do is I want to see how the birth of Jesus gives us a pathway to peace. A pathway to peace, especially when life doesn't go the way we expect it to. And so in this story this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to discover three promises that bring us peace. Three promises that bring us peace. Whenever something feels unexpected and your world is being turned upside down, what keeps you grounded? What is it that keeps you grounded when everything around you looks like it's just collapsing? Well, let's look at our first promise this morning to help answer that question. Here's our first promise. God is working when life doesn't make sense. God is working when life doesn't make sense. Look with me at verses 18 through 19 as we look at the story this morning. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." So last week when Cameron preached, he taught us about Mary and who Mary was. We said that she was probably around 14 years of age. She was from a town called Nazareth, kind of an obscure town, probably had a couple hundred people, and she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Now, to be betrothed is a little bit more serious than how we would view engagement today. So to be betrothed back then was the families came together of the bride, of the groom, decided that they should get married. And actually, when they were betrothed, they were legally bound to each other. They weren't fully married, but legally bound to each other. So if they broke it off, it would be considered a divorce. But they still had to wait a year to consummate the marriage and live together. Well, they're betrothed, and Mary gets pregnant. And that can kind of throw a wrench in some people's plans. Imagine being Joseph, and you are 100% positive, that's not my kid. Like, that's not my child. Now, regardless of what people are going to think, you know for sure that's not your child. First, you have to convince people of that, okay? There will be some who won't believe you. And second, 99% of us would come up with the same conclusion if that wasn't our child, that my fiance just cheated on me. I mean, that's what we would be thinking. And look at how Joseph responds to this situation in verse 19. It says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man," pay attention to that, he's a just man, "and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Once again, put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. This is the woman of his dreams. He's about to marry this woman, and he finds out that she's pregnant, and he knows it is not his child. Joseph is probably devastated. He is probably heartbroken. He's also probably facing the pressure from his family and friends to leave Mary. And so Joseph begins the painful process of divorcing Mary. But it says he does it carefully and quietly. See, in that culture, adultery wasn't just a moral issue like it is today. It was actually a legal issue. In the Old Testament law, a female could be stoned to death for committing adultery against her husband. And so here's Joseph, who's wanting to be a just man. He wants to resolve this quietly so nobody finds out about it, so Mary can save her life. But once again, if you're Joseph, your world has been turned upside down. Like in just the span of a few hours, you're thinking, this is the woman I'm going to marry, spend the rest of my life with, have a home with, have a family with. And you're wondering, what in the world is God doing? And I can promise you, Joseph is not the only person who has ever felt this way. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God's people have been enslaved to the Egyptians for over 400 years. They have not been able to go into the promised land. They are waiting for the promise that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that someone would come and lead them out into the promised land. And they haven't been able to do that yet. But then God calls a man named Moses, and Moses begins to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. And God begins doing all of these miraculous signs and wonders through Moses. And eventually, after many signs and wonders, Pharaoh says, okay, get out of here, go, leave. And finally, after 400 years, the Israelites are leaving Egypt and are headed towards the promised land. They can see freedom. They can begin to see how God's fulfilling his promises through them. And as they are leaving, they get to this massive body of water called the Red Sea. And they're trying to think, okay, how are we going to get across this? This is going to take some time. And all of a sudden, in the background, they hear yelling and screaming. And there are soldiers coming after them. Pharaoh has changed his mind. Pharaoh has decided, I want my slaves back. What have I done? And so he sends the most powerful army in the world after them to get them back. And in Exodus 14, it says the Israelites feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? After everything they went through in Egypt, they now see the most powerful army in the world coming after them with a massive body of water in front of them and realize they are as good as dead. There is nothing we can do. This is how we're going to die. Their world has been turned upside down. But amidst all of that, God remains in control. God tells Moses, he says, Moses, get your staff. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to stick that staff in the water. And I'm going to split this sea in half, and the water's going to come up like walls around you, and you're going to walk through on dry ground. And so the Israelites begin booking it, okay? They're trying to get to the other side before the Egyptians get to them. And as they're running towards the other side, the Egyptians are chasing behind them, and the Lord begins to cause some confusion amongst the Egyptians, and people are trampling over each other, and it gives the Israelites just enough time to get over. And as soon as they get over, Moses raises his hand up, and the water all comes down, drowning the Egyptians. Once again, God rescues his people. See, when everything looked impossible, God was turning panic into purpose. And that's exactly what God is doing this morning in Joseph's life. It's the same thing that he often does in his people's lives today. There are moments in our lives when it feels like our lives are coming apart, when relationships feel like they are breaking, when life decisions weigh heavy on us, when our future, it is terrifying and it is unclear and we don't know what's going to happen. But let me tell you this morning. If your faith is in Jesus, if you belong to Christ, God is already working his good purposes for your good and for his glory. While we quietly wonder in the background, amidst all the chaos, should we just give up? God is drawing near to heal and to restore. And while we're hurting and afraid, God is closer than we realize. And when we see confusion, God sees the full story. And when we feel panic, God reminds us that he is working his plan. And this leads us to our second promise this morning as we continue in the story. Here's the second promise this morning that brings us peace. That fear loses power because God is near. Fear loses power because God is near. Where do you turn when fear starts controlling the story of your life? To who or what do you turn in those moments? I want you to look with me at verses 20 through 21 as we see this play out in the life of Joseph and we see where he turns. Look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 says, as he considered these things, so he's pondering divorce, okay? As he's considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Pay attention to that phrase right there. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Joseph is on the verge of leaving Mary. Everything he thought he knew, he realizes, I had no idea what was going on. Everything he thought he could count on now feels uncertain, and he's afraid. Now let's be real. Who wouldn't be afraid in a situation like this? Everything around them is falling apart. When life changes unexpectedly, fear is a natural response that we have to living in a broken world. Our hearts go searching for safety. The problem is that our hearts usually go and look for it in all the wrong places. We try to control, we try to hide, we try to fix things ourselves, yet none of those things that we turn to in that moment can actually give us lasting peace. You and I were created to find our security in God alone, but sin tends to pull us toward false shelters that only deepen our fear. And in Joseph's fear, we see that God comes to him. God meets Joseph where he's at. And an angel appears, and he says to Joseph in a dream, he says, Joseph, do not be afraid. And here's why. Continue with me as we look at the story. He says, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So an angel speaks to Joseph in a dream. I don't know how this works, but there was an angel. He has a dream. Somehow he knows it's an angel speaking to him, and this angel tells him that Mary's actually done nothing wrong. She hasn't gone off and ran off with another man like he and most people probably think. In fact, God himself, miraculously, by the power of the Holy Spirit, conceives a child in the womb of Mary. Talk about a 180 in your day. Like, this goes from being the worst day of your life to probably, it has to be, the greatest day of your life. He finds out that Mary is pregnant with the Savior of the world. This is the child that has been promised to God's people for thousands of years. This child's going to be the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament. And actually, Matthew gives us one specifically from Isaiah 7:14. Look at verses 22 through 23. This comes from Isaiah 7:14. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Isaiah said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah prophesied that 700 years before Joseph ever walked this earth. And Joseph's realizing, oh my goodness, this prophecy is coming true through the woman that I am betrothed to. God, he's coming back. He's going to dwell with humans once again, just like we were created to be in the Garden of Eden, in relationship with God, walking and talking and enjoying him. He is coming back. And here's the best news. This child named Jesus, he's going to be fully God and fully man. Jesus is fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, but he's also fully man. Because his mother who gives birth to him, she is a full human being. And the best news is that this child is going to save God's people from their sins. He is going to finally give them peace with God. My oldest son, Owen, probably wouldn't like that I'm sharing this with you guys, but he's afraid of the dark. And the first couple years of his life, he would try to sneak into our bedroom at night because he was terrified and he would want to be closer to us so that he would be able to sleep. And so I would literally be laying down there at night and I would hear him open up the door, come in, get his pillow down there, get his blanket, lay down, and I would have to hold out my hand because he would come up and he would grab my hand at night, and that allowed him to close his eyes and be able to fall asleep. Because he knew his father was there, he could now fall asleep. Now we have four kids, and we just lock the door, and we just let them fend for themselves. It's like survival of the fittest out there. We don't do that. With your firstborn, you do some crazy things, but now it's like, whatever, let them do whatever. But here is what Owen was believing in those moments. When he was afraid, he thought the darkness meant danger. Every shadow was a monster. Every sound he heard was someone probably trying to break in and kidnap him and take him away from his family. But the moment he grabbed my hand, for him, everything changed. The reality was, nothing in the room actually changed. If someone came that was of danger, I don't know how much I could do. I would do whatever I could. I'm not sure how much I could do. The same darkness, the same shadows, the same sounds, they were all still there. But the fact that his father was near to him brought him peace. He could now lay his head down on his pillow and go to sleep in peace because he believed his father would protect him. In church, God has drawn near to us through Jesus, and he has come to bring us peace with God the Father. Listen to what the scriptures say about Jesus and peace. Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Acts 10:36 says that the early disciples were preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the only one who can truly bring us the peace that each of us long for. And I'm not just talking about some temporary comfort of this world. You and I run after all these things trying to find peace, and they never actually give us the peace we're longing for. In reality, they actually usually make our situations even worse, but not Jesus. Jesus has come, and he brings us deep, lasting peace with God. And the reason we struggle with fear isn't because of our circumstances, it's because of sin. Sin has separated us from God, and separation from God is the root of all fear. But then Jesus has come, and Jesus came to fix the deepest problems beneath all the problems. He came to restore what sin has destroyed, and this was always God's plan. Always God's plan. From Genesis 3:15 on, we begin to see the promise of the Savior, this rescuer, this redeemer, this Messiah that's going to enter into this world. God himself, right into the middle of our fear, right into the middle of our brokenness. He's not going to be just some distant God observing like every other world religion out there believes. No, our God took on flesh, and he entered into the brokenness himself. See, Jesus, who was the perfect God-man, who took on flesh so that God, who once felt so far away from us, would now be with us. Jesus came into this world so that he could die and make peace for us. Jesus took the punishment for our sin that we deserved on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored to God. Jesus rose from the grave to defeat sin and death once and for all, so that we could now have peace with God. See, before Jesus, there was a wall of hostility that stood between us and God because of sin. But Jesus came to tear down that hostility. He came to bring us peace. And true peace isn't the absence of problems. It's being made right with God through Jesus. True peace isn't the absence of problems. It's being made right with God through Jesus. And the only way you can be made right with God through Jesus is by trusting in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, which leads us to our third and final promise this morning. Our final promise this morning is this: Jesus is trustworthy even when our future is unclear. Jesus is trustworthy even when our future is unclear. Look with me at verses 24 through 25 as we finish here this morning. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph has two options. He can believe the angel of the Lord. He can believe that God has chosen him and Mary to bring the Redeemer of the world through, to save his people from their sins. Joseph can believe the angel that this is what's going to happen, that this is his future bride. Or Joseph could say, my goodness, what is going on? This is absolutely insane. Mary cheated on me. I got to get out of here and leave her. And this really isn't as easy as you might think it might be. I want you to think about what's at stake for Joseph. There's going to be some, no matter what, that think that is Joseph's child, that they had that child out of wedlock. There's shame attached there. There will also be other people who believe that this is another man's child and Joseph is raising some other dude's kid and that Mary cheated on him, and there's shame there. One of these, if he chooses to trust the angel, will be with him the rest of his life. I'll be honest, it's really not that easy for people to go up and say, I know my fiance is pregnant, but she's still a virgin. Don't worry, I know she is. People will probably think, okay, you are absolutely insane. That's what Joseph was going to have to convince people of. But the other option that Joseph had, it had risk as well. If he was to say, no, I'm not going to believe the angel of the Lord, well, you are denying God's word. You are choosing the approval of people over the command of God. You are saying, I'm only going to obey when it makes sense to me. And that's not obedience, that's just agreement. Obedience is trusting God even when his plan confuses us. Obedience is following God even when the path looks costly. In church, these two options that Joseph was presented with are really no different than the two options that you and I are presented with in our lives. If we choose to trust Jesus, I'm not going to sit here like a prosperity gospel preacher and tell you you're going to get healthy, wealthy, live your best life now. That's not what the scriptures say whatsoever. In fact, if we choose to trust Jesus, it's going to come at a cost. It might cost you your reputation. It might cost you your relationships. It might cost you a friend. It might cost you family members. It might cost you opportunities. Maybe it costs you a career you've been longing for, you've been going to school for. All you can think about is when I do that, it might cost you that. See, when you decide to follow Jesus, you're no longer living to please people. You're living to please God. But if you don't trust Jesus, and I want to speak to anybody in here who hasn't placed their trust in Jesus, the Bible says this is the greatest risk you could ever take. Without Jesus, you are choosing to face life and eternity in your own strength. You are choosing to stand before a holy God and say, I'm good enough without you. Thanks, but no thanks. And all of us in here know that would absolutely be insane. But you are choosing, if you don't choose Jesus, you are choosing separation from God rather than a relationship with him. And Joseph, he saw both of these options. He counted the cost. He knew what would be with him the rest of his life if he believed the angel. And he said, I'm going to trust God. Despite what the world might think of me, despite what it might cost me, he believed that being near to God was better than anything the world could ever offer. And for those of us in here who put our trust in Jesus, we're saying the same thing. We're saying that knowing God is better than knowing how everything is going to work out. And the only way that we can know God is by trusting Jesus. Listen to what Romans 5:1 says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you repent of your sin, confess it to God, acknowledge yourself as a sinner, and place your trust in Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection for your life. When you say, I can't do this, I need the forgiveness of Christ, you now have peace with God. And Jesus has come to bring us that peace. This is the peace that Joseph found, and it's the same peace that's being offered to every single one of us today. See, Jesus stepped into our broken, fearful, confusing world so that all of our sin, past, present, and future would be forgiven. It's gone. It's removed. So that nothing could ever stand between us and God. ever again, so that we could live with a peace that the world cannot offer. Nothing out there can give you the kind of peace that Jesus can. And we cannot lose this peace given to us from God through Jesus. So let me finish here by asking you a question this morning. Are you willing to surrender control and find peace in the presence of Jesus? In just a second, we're going to have two females come up here, and they're going to identify themselves through the waters of baptism because they chose to trust Jesus despite what the world might think. To them, knowing Christ is far better than anything this world could ever offer. Last Sunday, for the Advent candle, Cameron talked about the hope we have in Christ. He talked about how God's great plan of redemption offers us hope. Well, this morning, as I light the Advent candle of peace, we see that only Jesus can offer us the kind of peace that you and I all long for, that God himself, Emmanuel, has come to dwell among us, and he wants to know every single one of us. He wants to save us from our sins, call us to himself, and use us now for the glory of his name. And so, church, in the most unexpected moments, Jesus brings peace. Let's pray.